prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back. It's Monday, but today is not starting out as a good day. My first guest, Dr. Karthik Mani, apparently is not showing up. And maybe we had a miscommunication, but this is live radio and the show must go on. I'm waiting for him, or her, actually, I don't know, to respond to emails and also to Skype requests that we've been sending. But in the meantime, somebody's got to talk about something, and I guess that's me. We have the second half of today's show is a show that we tried to do last week about gelatin, stuff like Jell-O, and whether or not it's really good for your joints. I'm going to get to the bottom of that. That's been going around the internet for a while now. So in an effort to fill the time, I figured I'd talk about myself, because let's face it, no one really wants to hear about me. But that's all I've got right now until Dr. Karthik Mani responds to an email. So, interesting stuff's going on. And you know, I have a copy of Grey's Anatomy, an old Grey's Anatomy book next to my bed. And quite often, if I'm not, I like to read fiction at night before sleep. I need some chewing gum or bubble gum for the brain, as I like to call it. Because all I do is read studies and stuff like that, and obviously that gets boring after a while. But I do like to crack open Grey's Anatomy, and sometimes I'll just crack open to random areas and try to learn about a new body part. But last night I opened up the book with a mission, and the mission was, so in April of last year, I traveled to Quest Nutrition for a project that I was involved in. And I may have shared this story before, but if you haven't heard it, it's pretty humorous. I was wearing green khakis. Fatigues, you know, like military pants, army pants. And so I had this old pair of Puma sneakers that I never wore. They were these green, very, very pointy, but very hip-looking sneakers. And anytime I wore them, I only wore them when I was staying relatively close to the car, or close to home. In other words, there wasn't a lot of walking involved because they were very, very narrow for my feet. But they looked really great, especially when I wore the green fatigue pants. And so I traveled to Quest, and I decided to wear these the day I was traveling because they went so well with the pants. And lo and behold, did I learn a lesson. I learned a really, really valuable lesson. Never put on a pair of shoes that are way, way too narrow for your foot. Because that day of travel, where the shoe flexed at my instep over and over again, thousands of times throughout the trip, it actually ended up causing some sort of nerve damage. And that caused the muscles in my feet to spasm. And so by the time I got checked into my hotel room, my foot was killing me. It was literally burning at the instep where the shoe flexed over and over again, thousands of times. And each time it flexed, it dug deeper and deeper into the instep of my foot. And so I went to an immediate care center. I waited a week before I even went. I thought, well, maybe this would just go away on its own, and I wore my five fingers every single day. And then Elisa came out to stay with me for the last couple of weeks that I was there, and she said, you know, you really need to have that looked at. So I decided to go ahead and go to an immediate care center, and the doctor there took some x-rays, and she said to me, you've had a crush injury. And I thought, gee, that's odd. How did I have a crush injury if I didn't really crush my foot? I mean, I didn't drop any weight on it. But she said that, you know, this is a typical thing when people wear shoes that are too small for them. My toes were pushed into this little point that was really stylish looking. Women probably go through this all the time. And as a result of the flexing over and over again, I suffered the same type of an injury if somebody would have dropped a heavy weight on the instep of my foot. And so I figured, okay, I'll just wait to get home and I'll go see a foot doctor. And I went to see a foot doctor, and sure enough, he concurred and said, I've developed a neuroma. A neuroma is inflammation of the nerves, and they kind of swell. And so they fire the muscles, and I developed a traumatic hammer toe. So the toe next to my big toe, the middle toe, I guess, actually kind of popped up and like it was contracted all the time. And this caused me great pain when I walked, because you can't walk with one of your toes in that position. It's very, very difficult. I tried a variety of things. I tried these hammer toe devices that are supposed to straighten the toe out. It didn't work. I started walking differently, and that was has been my fix since April, you know, right? Because the options, like the doctor I went to see said, look, you know, if this doesn't get better, we have to do surgery. I'm like, oh, great. I don't want to have surgery. I got to find the way to fix this. And me being me, I believe there is a way to fix this. So now the toe next to the middle toe is starting to pull up and hammerize, and the pain is getting worse in my foot. And meanwhile, keep in mind that I've learned that I have like a superhuman pain threshold, because most people would not be able to live with the pain that I live with, let alone leg press the weights that I press, squat the weight that I squat, you know, walk around in five fingers all day long. Most people just couldn't do it. And I'm not using any analgesics per se. So now that the other toe is starting to do its thing and the pain is getting worse, I thought, you know, I've got to figure this out. Okay, I tried calling. I'm looking at Dr. Karthik's, let's see something here. Hold on a second. Let's try something. Apparently he's in Louisville. How do you like that? Hold on a second. Yeah, hold on. And I'll tell the rest of the story once I get him on the phone. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, no. The number he called from is not a good number. Everybody's got VoIP nowadays. So, anyway, I'll continue to talk until I can get him on the phone. So I decided I got to learn about my foot, because this is not going to work, and I don't want to have to go for surgery. I really, really don't. And so last night I cracked – well, actually, back up. So Elisa bought me one of these little handheld vibrators, right? It slides onto your hand, and you can, you know, massage your shoulders with it and all that sort of stuff. So last night I went to work on my foot with it, right? I'm thinking I'm going to probably injure my foot more, but I'm going to try this. So first I started on the instep, and I really applied pressure. And I could feel it in the sole of my foot. So then I turned the foot over and I started working the arch of my foot. And after doing this for about 20 minutes, real time, the pain in my foot was completely gone. And my hammer toe, both of them, were straightening out. They were literally straightening out. I couldn't believe it. I walked, I went up the stairs, all the pain was gone. Now, granted, the pain came back this morning, but it was nowhere as near as bad as it was yesterday before I started doing this. So, of course, when I get into bed, I decide to open up Grey's Anatomy. I'm like, I have to learn about the foot. What's going on here? So I'm looking at the instep of the foot the whole time. I'm like, oh, this is where the problem is, because that's kind of where the pain is too. And then I realize the foot is an amazing appendage. We literally walk on our muscles in our foot. Think about that. Imagine trying to do curls while somebody is vice gripping your bicep. The muscles in your foot contract and expand while being crushed by the weight of your body. Is that not flipping amazing? So all the innervation of the foot comes up top, but all of the contractions of the toes occurs from the sole of the foot. And so by me digging into it with the vibrator and doing whatever I did, I actually made those muscles relax. And now I understand what's going on. So the nerves that I agitated caused the muscles to spasm continuously and contract and deform my toes. So now I'm going to work on the bottom of my foot every single day, twice a day with this vibrator. And I'm going to watch what happens. I actually have an appointment with a foot doctor this Friday because I had this thought. I was like, what if I did Botox injections in the muscles that are causing the problem? What if I decided to, because they do that for IT band problems. They'll inject the muscle with Botox and the IT band relaxes. So what if I did that with the muscles in the foot and allowed the toes to relax while I'm waiting for the nerves, inflammation to go down, and then use a topical anti-inflammatory that penetrates the skin and works on the nerves? This could be the answer to people who have traumatic hammer toe. I really feel like I've stumbled on something. I'm really kind of excited about it. And I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to take the break now. And I'm going to get Dr. Manny on the phone because he is trying to, or she is trying to communicate with me right now. I apologize for not knowing who they are before the show. But we'll get them on the show because it's an important discussion. We're going to be talking about the risk of workplace injury because you sit at a desk all day long. Stay tuned. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. and are low heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. So Dr. Karthik Mani is saving you from having to listen to me drone on without a guest this hour. How you doing, Dr. Mani?
I'm good, Carl. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for being here today. And sorry for all the confusion this morning.
Sure.
Your research was very interesting to me. This is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. We talk about diseases of modernity, but a part of a technological and workplace environment is part of the whole modernity equation. And you recently published a paper with a colleague, two colleagues, evidence-based ergonomics education, promoting risk factor awareness among office computer workers. Why this? What questions needed to be answered that required this research?
Well, today's job market demands computer use, irrespective of the field of work. Computers are used in day-to-day work, regardless of the industry. With this demand, the number of people using computers for job-related purposes are growing. Further, people also use computers, laptops, and other electronic gadgets for personal reasons and social networking. In our study, we found that on an average, people use computers for about 6 to 12 hours a day.
That's
on
a lot.
Average, it's, yeah, that's a
and,
lot.
And that has to have increased in social media, because there are people who literally can't. I call it crackbook. Like, there are people who carry their phones around and they have to check their Facebook every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a lot of people like that. You know, this excessive computer use makes a person prone to develop work-related and musculoskeletal disorders. And, you know, the economic burden of occupational injuries reported by a study, which is like $250 billion annually. The Economic Policy Institute reported that there are approximately 23,000 on-the-job injuries reported every day. So these figures are really perturbing, and that's triggered us to do this study. And we found that, you know, to reduce the computer-related musculoskeletal disorders, what can be done? When we looked at the literature, we found that one of the available prevention techniques is to educating computer workers on ergonomics. Also, we found that, you know, often computer work-related musculoskeletal disorders occur because of workers' lack of knowledge or ignorance of the risk factors. So we assume that by increasing computer workers' knowledge of the risk factors associated with work-related musculoskeletal disorders, and also, you know, educating them on the available ergonomic solutions, would help them engage in safe work behaviors, thereby reducing their chance of sustaining work-related musculoskeletal disorders.
So We years ago, we did a show by a group that did research into something, and I can't remember the name of it. It's something cross syndrome. When you sit at your desk, your feet are in front of you, your shoulders are rolled forward, and you develop certain musculoskeletal adaptations that end up causing problems later on. What are the most common problems that people have? Shoulder problems, elbow problems? What is it?
A lot of people do report neck strain and low back pain. These are the two most common stuff, and these related to the work postures. It's like, you know, if they sit in like a forward stoop, the posture, as you said, you know, the shoulders rolled forward and they lean toward the computer. And these causes a lot of neck issues and back issues as well. It's all like posture related. So work posture is a significant risk factor when it comes to computer work.
So lumbar spine problems are on the rise in our population today. I only know this because I've done a lot of research into lumbar spine problems because I've developed some lumbar spine problems that I assumed were from the decades of doing heavy back squats and deadlifts. But I'm starting to come to the conclusion that me sitting with my keister in this chair 5 or 6 hours a day, and the way I sit is actually what's causing my lumbar spine problems. Lumbar spine problems are on the rise. Is this because of this kind of occupational adaptation that we're seeing?
Yes, you're right. We can definitely attribute the increasing number of back injuries to the computer work-related musculoskeletal injuries because, you know, a lot of people do not know what an ideal posture is. It's basically they don't really support their back adequately, you know, while working on with their computers. So it's basically they might like sit on a wrong chair. So the fault could be like, you know, identifying a suitable chair for them, or sometimes they get too absorbed in the work. Even though they start off with the right posture, over time they just like, you know, stop being mindful about their posture and then get involved into the work.
Think about something. So if you're sitting in a chair, you don't think about this, right? You're thinking to yourself, your body is in a relaxed state, but that's not true because your muscles are trying to hold you erect in that chair and they fatigue. And so when they fatigue, you let your posture go, you roll forward, your chest, your rib cage rests on your abdomen and you end up sitting like that.
You're right. It's because of constant musculoskeletal strain. It's, you know, when you sit in a static posture, if you assume a prolonged posture for a long time, you know, it's like it loads on your disc, the IV intervertebral disc. And also it kind of like loads on your muscle. It's like constant work on the muscle. So that leads to muscle fatigue and, you know, and subsequent injuries.
So, when you started to, so your goal of with this research was to make this phenomenon or this problem more evident to who? To the workers or to the employers?
Well, it's both. Basically, we thought, you know, the change should start at the personal level, at the worker level, the employee level. So we thought by increasing their awareness about the risk factors, you know, they will be more mindful about their work posture and work behaviors, thereby reducing their chance to sustain musculoskeletal disorders. At the same time, this study, you know, could also help the employers understand that it is a best practice to deliver ergonomic education to their employees, as well as it's worth the money to spend on, you know, buying what the employee needed in terms of ergonomic accessories.
Right.
So it's like kind of, you know, the study has like multiple targets.
Interesting. Okay, so we're going to take our first break. Before we go into the break, I want to kind of set the stage for what we come back.
Sure.
So you actually explained to the group of people what these risk factors were, and when they incorporated this knowledge you said that 89% of the participants were able to identify the risks that they were applying to their own day-to-day job, right?
Well, it's like the 89% of the participant identified more number of risk factors prior to these sessions. It's basically the difference in knowledge. That's what has been reported in the study.
Okay. So what I want to cover when we come back is I want to cover what you told them. What should the people listening to the show be aware of when they're sitting at their desk, whether it be home or work, that they are doing that could potentially cause them problems? And then we'll talk about what is the ideal posture? What's the way that we can solve this problem? So we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dr. Karthik Mani. Stay tuned.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. Anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Hello, boys and girls.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Karthik Manning. Dr. Manning is with the National Board of Certification in Occupational Therapy in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And so, Dr. Manny, what risk factors did you share with them that you can share with my audience so that they can be aware and watch for these things?
Well, the educational sessions discussed about all type of work-related musculoskeletal disorders, but the risk factors that are more critical when it comes to office computer work are work posture, and, you know, it's basically some people might assume an awkward posture, like bending, reaching, you know, they just like kind of slid down on the chair while working with computers, or stooped forward, or some people might have sit like little straight, but they just assume that posture for prolonged period of time. So working for long hours is a risk factor. Assuming an awkward posture is a risk factor. And the repetitive movements is, again, you know, if it's kind of some type of data entry job, they type a lot, and sometimes they use this like narrow keyboard, thereby twisting their wrist. Again, that's a risk factor. So it's basically, and some people I've seen, like, you know, they constantly look at the monitor to, you know, to review documents and stuff, and that causes like visual fatigue and dryness in the eyes and headache and stuff. That's a risk factor. So it's all related, you know. An unadaptive, like I would say a maladaptive workstation could be a risk factor. Like I've seen people sitting on a low chair with a high workstation there, but they're kind of shrugging their shoulders, like elevating their shoulders to reach the keyboard. That's a risk factor. So it's all related to posture and workstation related issues. And also another risk factor is like a lot of people I've seen, like they don't really take any rest break. Like they start in the morning and then like work through the lunch. And that's a risk factor again. Again, a lot of people, like, you know, it's like if a person is, like, you know, a little overweight or something, that could, like, load their spine a lot if they didn't really stretch, or if they didn't really do any stretching in between, or forgot to take rest breaks. That's going to really cost them a lot in the long run.
So a lot of the things that you raise, the issues that you raise, that you're considering risk factors, also fit into this new inactivity/activity realm, where we're learning that inactivity is as harmful as tobacco use, for instance. And so we know that people will sit at their, so you sit at your kitchen table and you eat breakfast, and then you walk to your car, and then you sit in your car and you drive to work, and then you walk to your office, and you sit in your office for 8 hours, and then you walk back to your car and you sit in traffic on the way home. And then you go home and you sit at your kitchen table and you eat dinner. Then you sit on your sofa and watch television. Then you lay down. And we know that inactivity can shorten your life and increase the risk of a variety of different health problems. But it also sounds like part of the inactivity model is what you're describing here, when people sit at their desk for long periods of time. So is it as simple as saying to people, get up and walk somewhere in your office, whether it's to the copy machine or to the water fountain or to a colleague's cubicle, once every half hour? Is it as simple as just saying that? That'll reset the posture, that'll improve activity to some degree, and get you out of that dangerous, a posture that you are at risk of sitting for long periods of time?
You're absolutely right. Before telling these strategies, I would like to say the prolonged state of contraction of muscles, you know, it leads to like, it reduces the transportation of sugar and oxygen to dynamically contracting muscles.
Mm.
And it kind of builds the waste products such as like carbon dioxide and lactic acid in the muscles, which creates to spasm and fatigue. So we need to really disrupt the cycle, the vicious cycle. So to avoid the prolonged state of contraction, As you've mentioned, one could just like step away from the workstation and go to a colleague's cubicle or to a coffee machine or a copy machine. That's fantastic. In terms of the duration, literature suggests so many different things. One study suggests like during a typical workday, one should take like 2 15-minute long break and 5 minute, like 4 or 5 minute short breaks. The other study says the worker should like step away from the workstation at least once every 60 minutes. So it differs. But, you know, again, in a lot of work settings, given today's workload and job pressure, people find it very difficult to really like take that much of time. So I would suggest every 60 minutes, just to break the prolonged state of contraction, one should at least step out of the workstation As you said, they can just go to the restroom one time and next time to the colleague's cubicle or something. But every 60 minutes, step out and just move on and come back to your workstation. Another thing that one needs to do is like avoid looking at the monitor for more than 20 minutes. You know, just take off your eyes from the monitor, look at something else, review.
And really, you should look at something far away so the rays of light are coming into the eye at what's considered infinity, because that is what relaxes the muscles that flex the crystalline lens. This is where fatigue comes from in vision. So it's not enough just to go from your laptop computer to the wall that's 6 feet from your computer. You've got to find a window where you can look out at the clouds or an airplane passing by or the street lamp on a street that's half of a linear mile away. You've got to look far away.
Yes, you're right. One study suggests that one should look at least 20 feet away. I know to see something that's 20 feet away. As you said, yeah, that's amazing, you know, to look out the window, to look at the sky or something that's far away. Yep, you're right.
So, so what about, and we're going to take a break in a moment, and I want to talk about solutions, but we see a lot of these new standing desks, which are supposed to be for people who are worried about too much inactivity. But does that solve the problem? If my employer puts in a work surface that allows me to sit, but then in a half hour stand and not break my dedication to my project, instead of walking to a cubicle or walking over there, walking to the copy machine and breaking the momentum of what I'm working on, I simply just stand at my desk for the next 20 minutes and sit back down for 20 minutes. What about that as a solution?
Well, in my view, there is nothing called an ergonomic chair or ergonomic work surface. The ergonomics is nothing but the fit between the person and the environment. So I don't know, if the strategy that you've just said, if it's proven by research, I might inclined to consider that, but I don't really see that as a solution. The solution is a person should engage in a combination of external and internal factors. As we described, one should work on the office chair, work surface and stuff. Internally, they should try to be more mindful about their posture. They should be mindful to take rest breaks and stuff like that. I've seen a lot of products in the market that says ergonomic keyboard, and ergonomic mouse, and ergonomic monitor. I mean, they should stop advertising like that. There is nothing called, in my view, there is nothing called ergonomic keyboard. Any keyboard that fits the worker, to retain a good working posture and then lessens the strain. That's an ergonomic keyboard for the person.
Well, and it makes sense, because what you just said it's holding that position for long static periods of time. So these ergonomic keyboards work on the assumption that keeping the palms face down and the elbows bent and typing away is strenuous on the arm. So these ergonomic keyboards, your hands are in a slightly more neutral position. Your palms are slightly more facing inward. And so this is the assumption that, this is a more comfortable position based on the kinesiology of the wrists. But the reality is, as soon as you hold that position for an hour at a time, it's not ergonomic any longer. It's not satisfying the need because you are once again in this repetitive position.
Exactly. You're right.
There's a IT company upstairs in my building. And so a lot of the guys smoke cigarettes. These guys work in front of computers all day long. They are coding. They are working on people's IT problems. All this really, super fancy high-tech stuff. But so many of them smoke cigarettes. And I asked one of them one day, why does everybody smoke? He says, because they have to give you every 15 minutes, they have to give you a cigarette break. And I thought to myself, that's a shame. So in other words, these guys are resorting to smoking, because if you don't smoke, you don't get a cigarette break every 15 minutes. So this employer needs to go, I don't care if you don't have to smoke, get up every 15 minutes and go outside and stand. I don't care. I mean, think about that. These guys are resorting to smoking so that they get that 15-minute break.
Yeah, this actually brings up another point to my mind. Like, when we talk about the risk factors related to computer work, there are some psychosocial risk factors related to computer work. For example, time pressure, low level of control. If an employee feels that, you know, he or she is like controlled by his or her boss, then that the low level of control over his or her work and the time pressure, perceived inadequate support from the manager, and so on. Even there is a study that was published back in 2005 that found a correlation between increased job strain, I mean the psychological strain, and neck musculoskeletal symptoms. Even that could give you musculoskeletal problems.
Okay,
today's work environment is really stressful.
I want to take a break, and I want to talk about solutions. Obviously, we've touched on some of them already, but I want to talk about there are ergonomic chairs. There are these new chairs with BOSU balls out there. Are these really doing what we need them to do, or these are just a poor answer to the problem? We're going to take a quick commercial break. Stay back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Karthik Manning. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about gelatin, like Jell-O. I mean, like stuff you can buy at your local grocery store with Dr. Keith Barr. Can it really improve cartilage production, tendons? I mean, it's fascinating, but there's lots of information out there that's wrong, so we're going to talk about that later in the show. So, Dr. Manny, what do we do? What about these ergonomic chairs? Have you seen them? You actually kind of lean in them. You don't have a back. Your butt is on a slightly slanted forward platform. Your legs fold under and lean against pads. It's almost like you're kneeling all day long. Any thoughts on those?
I haven't really used one, but I've seen them. But like, you know, let me be very clear. Like, I would suggest the listeners to go to this OSHA website. It has like clear guidelines of how an office chair should be. You know, it's like different kind of chairs work for a different kind of person. It's based on the person's anthropometric measurements. So I would say a suitable chair is the one that has adjustable components like adjustable armrest, adjustable backrest, adjustable seat, and so on.
Right.
And the chair that supports your back adequately, you know, it has this lumbar, slight lumbar curve that fits your lumbar curve. And a chair that doesn't make one lean towards one side. And a chair that doesn't really put pressure behind the knees when a person sit on it. A chair that allows the person
Wait a minute. Back up. That's one that goes unnoticed. Sure. Why? Does that cut off circulation into the lower legs when it puts pressure on the back of the knees?
You're absolutely right. That should be at least a minimum of 1 to 3 inches space between the back of your knees and the seat edge. And it is typically recommended a chair with a waterfall edge, like, you know, a smooth, curvy waterfall edge
right.
is recommended.
Right.
A lot of people do not really know that. They have like kind of a sharp edge and that put constant pressure on that. And then just they, you know, they start complaining about like, you know, kind of muscle pain over that area. And as you said, it cuts off the circulation. So that's what a chair, you know, you need to really, each worker has to find a chair that really fits them. But an ideal chair should definitely have, as I said, adjustable components. So, you know, we can adjust it. Even the armrest should be adjustable. So if the armrest is like fixed and if the person is too tall, then he or she needs to like, you know, tend to lean towards one side to support the elbow. And
yeah.
Again, thereby they're maintaining an awkward posture. And that,
I'm doing it right now. I'm leaning on my left arm. Because I'm leaning toward coming down to my microphone, I guess I need to raise my microphone so that I keep my head up. And by keeping my head up, I'll keep my body up. Interesting.
Yes, you're right. And again, another thing, you know, a lot of people see in the office work environment, I see people cradling their phone between shoulders and neck and then looking at the documents or looking at the monitor while answering a call. And that's, again, it will put a lot of pressure.
Oh, what about the phone in the neck? That people will put a phone in their neck while they're typing. You really need to go get yourself a headset, but people do this all the time. That's got to cause cervical spine issues, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely, you're right. And it's recommended to use either a speakerphone, you know, close your office and either use a speakerphone or have a hands-free.
Right.
But I would like strongly suggest the audience to stay away from that practice. Don't cradle your phone between your neck and shoulder.
Okay, what about, have you seen these new seats, these new desk office chairs? They have no back, and it's basically a BOSU ball. And the premise is you find your center, and you stay there, and you're supposed to be comfortable, and you're not leaning back, you're not leaning forward. Have you seen these?
I mean, I've seen, like, I've really, like, seen that much often, like, but I remember, like, I've seen in one place, but it's a long time ago, so I'm not really sure about what I saw. But I would say none of those chairs that you're talking about, I mean, in my view, it wasn't supported by evidence. There is no research studies or a large-scale study that support the use of that. So right now, you know, I wouldn't recommend that as an occupational therapist with ergonomics background. But again, I'm looking forward. You know, I'm not really sure how that helps because it, as you said, there's no backrest, and the first principle is like a chair should have a good backrest to support your lumbar spine.
Right.
I don't really see that as an effective solution. But who knows? You know, the future may really enlighten us on that end.
How can someone find their ideal posture for sitting? I know. From years ago when I first started to meditate, there are certain places, there's certain ways that you can sit where your body kind of, everything stacks up nicely and there's no forward pull and there's no backward pull and you just kind of, you're in this kind of limbo zone where everything just sits nicely. How can someone find that? And then is it realistic to try to keep that posture throughout the day when you're working?
Yes. You know, in terms of an ideal, talking about an ideal work posture, it's very simple. As you said, the back should be straight. You know, it's basically our curve is like our spine is in a, like a S-shaped curve. Our spine is in a position of an S-shape, like that. There is a, like a curve in the cervical region and then like a kind of a invert curve in the lumbar region. So it's basically the concave-convex kind of the concept. We should try to maintain that curvature, the spinal curves at all time. So for example, you know, if the chair's back is really like flat, then we can like use a small pillow roll or a small, a towel or something just to, maintain that lumbar curve, the lumbar inward curve. I would say the ideal posture is the one where you support your back and your spine is in kind of like in a straight line. I mean, I would say like with, you should like support your curvatures at the same time. Your shoulders should be relaxed and elbows should be bent between 90 to 100 degrees and your forearm should be in a straight line and wrist should be in a neutral and to slightly extended position. In terms of your lower extremities, you should bend your hip and knees at 90 degree and your ankle joint should be in a neutral position and your feet should be rested on the floor or a footstool. So just like, you know, you sit in a relaxed position, keep your spine straight, bend your hip and knees at 90 degree and support your feet. This is the ideal posture. And yes, in order to retain this posture, we need to really look for the right chair and like we need to adapt our office work surface accordingly. You need to like push in the monitor in a way and you should like try to remove the stuff under your work surface, like under your work desk and stuff. A lot of people I see like, you know, put their stacking boxes or paper. Everything under the desk.
Yeah, they can't move their legs. Their legs are restricted the whole day. They're just in one place.
Yeah, exactly. That's really like, you know, it's harmful. And again, as I said, like, you know, some people I saw, like, the work surface is too high for them. And then they just like kind of raise the chair so that they can like, you know, comfortably work with the keyboard. But at the same time, they're kind of dangling their feet. And that puts a lot of strain on the back as well. Because it's kind of the gravity pulls them down and they just kind of like try to, you know, slid down on their chair and that puts a lot of strain on the back. So I would recommend, you know, either, you know, if the work surface is too high, then try to have a keyboard tray that goes under the desk where you can really pull it closer to yourself.
Right.
And use a footstool to support your feet. I've seen like, you know, a lot of people like use a mouse like a little far away from the monitor and then they're just kind of abducting or flexing the shoulder too much. Again, that puts a lot of strain on the shoulder joint as well as on the neck joint. So try to have a keyboard tray, pull it closer when you need to type and thereby, you know, you're not really like bending your shoulder too much and your elbows are in a really comfortable position and you're also not like, you know, kind of twisting your wrist.
And if you're not... I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, say what you're going to say.
Yeah, it's all about arranging your workstation according to your need, according to your physical condition, and then finding the appropriate ergonomic accessories with the help of an expert with ergonomics background.
And don't expect your employer to come forward and say to you, hey, are you comfortable? Do you want to, you know, you need to go to your employer and say, look, I'm starting to develop some muscle issues. I think it's because of the way I'm sitting at my desk. I'd like to go ahead and get, like you said, the keyboard extender or, you know, reorganize stuff, because it's up to you to take care of your body. You can't wait for your employer to come to you and say, hey, are you comfortable? You don't look comfortable. They don't care. If you're doing your work and you're getting a paycheck every month and you're not complaining about something, they're fine. So it's up to you to be a steward of your workplace.
Yeah. So you got to be really mindful about what you need. And for that, you need to educate yourself on ergonomics. And that's what the study shows. You know, once people are aware of the risk factors associated with musculoskeletal disorders, they change their work behaviors. I've seen the participants of the study, because I work in the same organization where the study was conducted. I've seen people like, adjust their monitor positions. The management to buy some new ergonomic accessories for them. And they are like started engaging in like some minor stretching exercises. They take rest breaks often. So they do all these kind of stuff. One interesting thing that I want to like really tell now is, even prior to the study, a lot of people actually like in the questionnaire, they identified, yeah, this is a risk factor. I knew that the posture is a risk factor, but they didn't really do anything about in terms of the behavior. But after these sessions, after these ergonomic education sessions, that really reflected on their work behavior and work habits. So I would strongly suggest the audience to go to ergonomics, you know, the OSHA website or the Cornell University Ergonomic Workshop is another useful resource. So try to reach out and educate yourself about ergonomics. And as you said, go to your employer if you need something.
Dr. Manny, thanks so much for being here today. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about gelatin. You like Jell-O? It may actually be good for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Ben Gordon. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth. And in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-291-5140. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-291-5140. That's 1-800-291-5140.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more. You can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back.
Just bust the mold.
You know, ever since the emergence of bone broth, gelatins have become very, very popular again. I remember my mother used to use Knox gelatin. She said it was good for her hair and her nails. And you can still buy Knox gelatin at the grocery store. It doesn't taste good. It's unflavored. Yeah. When I was a kid, I worked at the racetrack, and Knox gelatin, the smell of it reminds me of the smell of when the blacksmith used to rasp the excess hoof off of a horse. It kind of smells like that. But there is a new, a revived interest. And my next guest is Dr. Keith Barr. How you doing, Dr. Barr?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
And you are over at UC Davis, correct?
I am, yes.
And your group recently published a study about using gelatin. Is it really good for joints? Why did this have to be answered? Isn't there enough gravity in old wives' tales that it is?
It certainly appears that way, because every time I would go to present any of the data that we've covered, we've generated in the last few years, people would say, oh, just like you said, my grandmother used to give it to me for growing pains, or, you know, all of these people used to use it for this, and or my rugby coach used to give it to me as a way to prevent injuries. So there is there's definitely a lot of
anecdotal
old wives' tales out there, yeah. Anecdotal evidence that it is something that's effective.
But that's what science is all about, right? So science takes things that look like they do something and examines them and goes, yeah, it really does, or no, it doesn't. And really, we do need that, because you only put so much stock into N equals one type phenomenons. Like somebody says, oh, I did this and this is what happened. You don't really, gee, that may be just you. But when someone publishes a study, then we go, okay, there is some, you know, there's validation here, and we can move past that and forget about it now.
Oh, definitely, because one of the things that you get into is if you're just going by what you think and what you perceive, that was basically a lot of what caused the Dark Ages, because all of science at that time was, you know, based on this idea of I think, therefore I am. So if I can think it, it's a thought experiment. If I can do that, then that's the only evidence that I need, whereas the reality is that's not in fact true. If we want to understand how something works and whether there's an actual physical basis to how it works and not just a psychological basis for how it works, we have to actually have some sort of a test in order to, in a very, very basic way, be able to say yes or no, does it work?
So how is this study designed? Talk about the design of the study.
Well, so we started doing this actually because one of the things that we do in the laboratory is we actually engineer ligaments. So what that means is we get people's ACLs once they've ruptured them. So we live very close to Lake Tahoe, California. Beautiful ski resort. And at this time of year, especially after last week's snow when there were 16 feet of snow in Tahoe, there's a number of people coming down the mountain who've ruptured their ACL. They're going to go into the UC Davis Medical Center and get that repaired. And what we do is we go into the surgical suite and we get the remnants of their ligament. We isolate the cells from that and we put it into a dish with a little matrix, and we can make human ligaments in the dish.
Man, I wish I was around in the 70s when I lost my left ACL coming down the bunny hill of all hills at the Playboy Club in Great Gorge, New York. And I had a great surgeon back then because I got an uncle that played pro ball for the Mets, and he sent me to Dr. Jim Parks, and he's the guy who did Joe Namath's knees, and he said, "You're not an athlete." He says, "If you were an athlete, we would do something." He goes, "Just to make your quads stronger." And I had to follow his he said to me, "Look, if we open up your knee," back then they did cadaver ligaments, yep. I think it was. He said, "If we open up your knee, we're going to put a cadaver ligament in there." He said, "And you will absolutely get osteoarthritis probably in your 30s and 40s." He goes, "If you were a million-dollar contract holder, you do it, right? But you're not." He says, "You're just a regular guy." He says, "Just go make your quads stronger." And that's what I ended up doing.
Yeah, and it probably worked pretty well because the second surgery or the second injury, the surgery is really a second injury, and so sometimes that can produce as much problem as it
mm-hmm,
fixes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were trying to come up with a way that you wouldn't have to give up your own ligaments that are healthy or your own tendons that are healthy, and you wouldn't have to use a cadaver tissue. So that's what we were doing, is growing these. And one of the things that we found out is that when we add certain amino acids to the media, our ligaments that we were engineering became a whole lot stronger.
Mm.
And those amino acids were things that were enriched in the protein collagen, which forms the backbone for any of the tendons or ligaments. And so all I did was go and say, okay, if this works in our cell culture model, that's three-dimensional, it's human, it's got all these things, well, maybe it'll work in humans for real to make their tissue stronger. So what foods are enriched in these amino acids? And naturally gelatin comes up. Because as you were saying in your introduction, you know, gelatin is actually just isolated and purified collagen,
right,
that has come from either skin or other types of materials that are basically would have been waste products for the meat processing.
And remember, back in the day when my father was a young man, and I still, you know, I learned how to eat chicken from my father. I literally right. eat the ends of the bones. You know, I yep. love the grizzle. That's collagen. You know what I mean? I love the marrow.
Oh, yeah.
And so, but today, most people don't even encounter that stuff. They go, "Ooh, that's so gross." But really, when you think about it, our diet has literally teased out anything that has collagen in it, because most people think it's, "Oh, that's yucky. It's like sinewy. It's tough. It's hard to chew."
The gristle.
Yeah, the gristle. But that's really so valuable now, and people are starting to wake up.
It is incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the people that I work with is this wonderful sport nutritionist who's now the head sport nutritionist for New Zealand. And in the past, she had been at the English Institute of Sport. And what she says is she calls it her hyena diet. That just like a hyena, her athletes should eat basically every bit of the tissue,
right,
so that you're getting all of those nutrients that are coming from all these different sources.
Okay, so now what happens when people eat collagen? Is there an appreciable change in soft tissue modeling and strength? And if so, how long does it take?
Yeah, so what our study was designed to do is to see how quickly the gelatin resulted in changes of amino acids in the blood. And then if you made those changes in the amino acids in the blood, could you see an appreciable increase in collagen synthesis? So what we did is we gave individuals, you know, either a placebo, 5 grams or 15 grams of gelatin, and every single person in our study did each of the different conditions. So they all did each of the conditions. It was a crossover design so that there weren't any interhuman differences. And so what they did is they drank gelatin together with a juice that has a little bit of vitamin C in it. And then what they would do is we would take blood from them every half hour for 3 hours, and we measured the amino acids in the blood. And sure enough, the amino acids that are enriched in gelatin, things like proline and glycine and hydroxyproline, these all increased in your blood out to about an hour, and then they started going away. And then what we had them do is, when the amino acids were at their highest, we had them jump rope for 6 minutes. And the reason we did that is because, basically, tendons, ligaments, and bones all respond to exercise, we know that. But what they do is, unlike muscle, where you can continue to adapt no matter how long you exercise, after about 5 minutes of exercise, your tendons and ligaments and bones stop adapting to the stimulus. So it only takes about 5 or 10 minutes for you to maximally activate the cells in your bones.
Interesting.
And your tendons and your ligaments. So we use 6 minutes of jump rope to kind of maximize their stimulus. And then what we did is we measured collagen synthesis in the blood. And so what you do there is that when you make collagen, you're making a protein that's going to form this big rope. And in order so that it doesn't make that rope within the cells, it only partially processes it in the cells. And then once it's outside the cell, it's going to cut off the ends, the C and the N terminus, are what they're called, and we can measure how much of that N-terminal peptide is in the blood. And that's a really good measure of bone collagen synthesis. And so what we did is we did that. So we measured that 4 hours after they took the initial drink. Then we had them continue to do the gelatin and jump rope for the next 3 days.
Just one session each day. Just one session.
So we had them do 3 sessions a day. So the reason that we do that is because, like I said, it takes only about 5 minutes before your bones stop signaling. But it takes about 6 hours before they can turn on again. So what we did is 6 minutes of jump rope, 6 hours of rest, 6 minutes of jump rope, 6 hours of rest. And then we gave them the gelatin an hour before they did their jump rope. What we saw is that just jumping rope for 6 minutes every 6 hours doubled the rate that your bones synthesize collagen. So just doing that activity with that long 6 hour period in between, that resulted in a doubling of collagen synthesis in the bone. When we added 15 grams of gelatin, we got a further doubling. And so what that tells us is that if we've got people who have a history of, say, stress fractures or other bone-based injuries, or if they're coming back from an injury, they can use this intermittent loading pattern together with gelatin to really increase the rate at which you lay down that first level of what you need to make a bone.
Interesting. All right, we have to take a break. We've been talking about bone. I want to talk about soft tissue when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Great.
Because this is obviously a big issue as well. We're talking with Dr. Keith Barr from UC Davis. This is very, very interesting. In fact, I have been adding 11 grams of collagen powder to my post-workout shakes because I'm getting older, and I've already had several muscle tears, and maybe it's because I'm just not getting enough collagen in my diet. So we'll see. Stay tuned about that.
Six million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality
high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia. These bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. Anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest Bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Keith Barr from UC Davis about gelatin. And you know what? We're not talking about expensive stuff here, right? I buy Great Lakes organic, you know, pastured cow gelatin, and it's very expensive. But let's be honest here. Jell-O would probably work, assuming it doesn't have a lot of artificial sweeteners and colors in it. I wouldn't recommend that. But we're not talking about expensive kind of gelatin here, right, Dr. Barr?
Yeah, exactly right. So when I make stuff for myself and for my daughter, what we use is the classic Knox because it's easy to get, it's food quality, and
cheap.
And we just I just use that, and I use it with a fruit juice that's going to have approximately 50 to 100 milligrams of vitamin C per serving.
Yeah.
So it's not a whole, you know, it's a very, very inexpensive as far as most of these things go.
So we're talking about bone turnover and creation, but what about soft tissue and chondrocytes, right? So a lot of people take expensive glucosamine and chondroitin supplements with the understanding that this is going to contribute to the building blocks of chondrocytes, but doesn't collagen also play a role in soft tissue and chondrocyte synthesis?
Yeah. So what we know is that your cartilage is going to be made primarily of a type of collagen, collagen 2.
Right.
We know from some really nice studies in the literature that if you take in a randomized clinical trial 10 grams of gelatin or collagen hydrolysate a day, what they found is that the thickness of the cartilage using advanced MRI techniques was increased over an 8 to 12 week period. So it is something that is actually stimulating not only bone, not only tendon and ligament, but also the cartilage, to the cells within those structures to begin to synthesize more collagen.
Okay, so let's talk about something a little sexier for my audience, right? We're all into building muscle, and not because we're a bunch of meathead bodybuilders, but because part of the longevity prescription, increasing health span along with lifespan, requires rigorous, intense, strenuous exercise. We know that. I mean, research has shown it. The strongest do live the longest, blah, blah, blah. So we're all about building muscle. Now, part of the hypertrophy response is not just the uptake of sarcoplasmic fluid into muscle fibers and or the stem cell differentiation to new muscle fibers, but also the house that the muscle lives in, which is the fascia, right? This is avascular soft tissue. It's just a continuation of the tendons that hold hold the muscle to the bone or the attachment, the insertion, blah, blah, blah. So doesn't it stand to reason that if you are feeding that new tissue, it can also kind of grow along with the muscle?
Definitely. So my laboratory, well, we've started by being people who are focused on increasing muscle mass and what are the molecular signals that lead to an increase in muscle size and strength. And what we've always focused on traditionally is muscle size as the big outcome measure. And a number of years ago, I was working with the English or the UK track, sorry, right. UK track, but also English cycling.
Okay.
So the British cyclists, when I went there, we were talking about increasing muscle mass, you know, this is going to improve performance. But what they were talking to me about was, look, we get a big increase in strength with no increase in muscle mass, no increase in muscle size. And so at that point, I really had to start rethinking what I was doing, because if you're getting an increase in strength without an increase in size, there has to be some sort of a mechanism that underlies that. And we now think that the connective tissue is exactly what's the difference. So the way that we explain it is, if you've got a connective tissue within the muscle that's like jelly or like an elastic band, when the muscle pulls on that stretchy system, what happens is that stretchy system pulls and it stretches, but it doesn't allow you to move the weight, which is your body or whatever weight you're trying to lift. So as your muscle contracts, it's pulling against this rubber band. It stretches, but it doesn't allow you to move, and it doesn't allow you to move strongly or quickly. As you increase stiffness of the connective tissue, that muscle is contracting exactly the same, but now it's pulling against a rope instead of an elastic band, and now what's going to happen is the weight is going to move sooner, it's going to move faster, and that's going to be an increase in strength, but also an increase in power. And then if you increase that stiffness more, it's like pulling against a metal rod. As soon as the muscle produces any force against the rod, it's going to transmit that force faster, more true, and that's going to result in an increase in what we call force transfer of what the muscle does, so the contraction, to the movement that you're trying to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we know is that as you increase stiffness within the structure, you increase strength, you increase power, and you increase economy if you're a runner.
Okay. I have a different opinion, and I am not a doctor, scientist, or anything else. But I'm just going to throw this out there and put my foot in my mouth, okay?
Okay.
The Golgi apparatus is designed to get feedback to protect the muscle from tearing itself off the bone, basically. And I think that you're right in that when the structure of the muscle, which is the casing of the muscle, is not up for the job, it may actually govern and restrict the muscle from actually activating all of its strength. We see this when things like anabolic steroids are introduced and we hear people tearing, you know, muscles right off of bones, because now all of a sudden the impetus for contractile force is so much greater than what the muscle can actually handle. But with that being said, I think personally, and again, I'm sure I'm wrong, but I think that there's a The muscle is trying to protect itself. You're right. I think that the stronger the soft tissue is, the muscle can then cut loose and do its job. From a hypertrophy standpoint, we know from years of debate. I mean, I've been doing this show for 11 years, and it's been going on for probably 100 years before that. The type of training that begets strength increases and hypertrophy are very, very different. And that's why I think soft tissue plays a big role in hypertrophy. So in hypertrophy, you know, filling the muscle full of blood, lactate, it signals certain growth factors for the muscle to actually get larger. But from an evolutionary perspective, this is actually negative because it requires a lot of caloric expenditure to have bigger muscles. Strength, on the other hand, is a neuromuscular adaptation, which again comes full circle to your assumption here that the casing still has to be up for the job. So I definitely agree with you. I agree with you 100% the importance of soft tissue in the development of force. But I also think there's a certain portion of it that actually is the body protecting itself because it knows it's not up for the job. And here's a guy who's torn three attachments off his left hand hamstring, tore his tricep off of his elbow more recently and just had it reattached. And I've also torn the outer head of my bicep by pushing past what I should have been doing and forcing the soft tissue to jobs that it wasn't up for. So I agree with you. I just think that there's maybe a little little feedback going, hey, we're not going to let you hurt yourself here. So make that soft tissue stronger, and maybe we'll let you get there.
That's definitely a possibility. But what we normally see is that if you're training only, so we know that how you train is going to be very important for how stiff the connective tissue becomes.
Okay.
And really what we're talking about is two different systems of connective tissue. We're talking about one, which is the intramuscular connective tissue, which is attaching and allowing you to transmit force within the muscle.
Okay.
And that's going to protect each individual fiber from injury. And then we're talking about the tendon, which is a shock absorber for the whole muscle. Now, the tendon is functioning as a shock absorber for the whole muscle. What that means is that it normally has a stretchy end towards the muscle, and at the bone end, it's got a stiff end. What a tendon is, it's a tissue that has different mechanics along its length.
Oh.
The reason it has to do that is because it has to protect both the muscle and bone from injury. As we train, if we train fast, we can increase the stiffness of that tendon. And if that's all the training that we do, what we're going to do is we're going to progressively increase the stiffness of the tendon. If the tendon becomes stiffer than the muscle is strong, when you do a movement that your body is normally able to do, your tendon no longer stretches because it's now stiffer than the muscle is strong. So instead of the tendon stretching, your muscle stretches. And so what we see all the time is people who are doing these performance-based movements continuously, they're going to get a progressive increase in stiffness that increases their performance so that their tendons are stiffer, they can go faster, they can do all these movements quicker, more powerfully. But then what happens is that tendon becomes just a little bit too stiff. And instead of it stretching during a very intense movement, now it's too stiff to stretch. The muscle stretches. When your muscle stretches at a high force with a large load, and it's stretching, it's going to much more likely rupture. It's one of the reasons why every Olympics you'll see people in the 200, 400, and 800 who are tearing their hamstrings. Because all they've done to train is to progressively increase the stiffness of the system because they're trying to perform at their maximal.
Gotcha.
Their maximal means that they're at their maximal stiffness. They just go a little bit past the stiffness or the strength of their hamstring muscle, and then just as they're about to hit the ground, well, actually at contact on the ground with that front leg, they're going to rupture the hamstring. You see it all the time in athletes who are only doing quick movements because those fast movements, they're increasing the stiffness of the tendon. We also know that if you have tendonitis, and you go to a physical therapist or you go to a good orthopedic surgeon, all they're going to do is they're going to prescribe to you slow lengthening contractions. Because it's a heavy lengthening contraction that's moving slowly. By moving slowly, you change the cellular processes that are happening within the muscle-tendon junction, and you actually decrease the stiffness of the tendon. So what happens is when you're moving slowly in those movements, you're decreasing stiffness, you're doing what we call a protective movement.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're moving quickly through the range, now you're doing a fast movement. That fast movement is going to increase stiffness, increase performance. So we call it a performance move. So basically what you're trying to do if you're training is you're trying to offset performance moves with health-based moves or protective moves.
Yeah.
So you know, if your listeners are lifting for life because they want to improve their quality of their life and they have no performance measures, they're not going to have to, you know, compete in the combine. They're not going to have to go to some large competition. At that point, it's best just to do slow movements.
Right.
Because with those slow movements, it's going to protect you from injury. It's going to allow you to get the muscle hypertrophy you're looking for, but it's also going to be healthier for your tendons.
Interesting. This is really, really good. I like this. Okay, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got lots more questions. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website.
Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now. Now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Keith Barr from UC Davis. We're talking about gelatin. You should incorporate it into your daily protein intake. So gelatin also benefits people who want to improve their skin and hair, for the ladies in the audience. I mean, that's all collagen-based stuff that happens to us as we age and our skin starts to stretch, right?
Yeah, well, that's the idea. There's nothing, again, it's one of those things, as you said at the beginning of the program, where there's lots of anecdotal evidence that people take it for their skin and their hair and they see a big difference. There's actually nothing in the scientific literature that shows that that's true, but you know, given the fact that when we have people eat gelatin, we see an increase in collagen synthesis, we would anticipate that there would be a beneficial effect for that as well, yes.
So am I doing the right thing? Right now I'm making my post-workout drink. I'm using my normal dairy protein. I put a couple raw eggs in it, couple other things, creatine, and now I'm adding 11 grams of collagen protein powder. Great Lakes makes it. I obviously could use Knox gelatin,
right.
And I'm doing that post-workout. Is that a good idea, or should I be using it multiple times throughout the day?
So we would suggest that it's done a slightly different way, simply because of, again, a difference between what the connective tissue and the muscle is. We don't have really good evidence for this, like a definitive study where we've done it before and after. But because, as you've said earlier, that connective tissues like tendons, ligaments, et cetera, and the intramuscular connective tissue, they're pretty much avascular tissues, which means that they don't have a lot of blood supply, unlike muscle, unlike bone. So when we take something in after exercise, if that tissue has a lot of blood flow to it, like muscle, there's easily a 2-plus-hour window where you've got more blood supply to that muscle. But then even after that 2-hour window, because every time we eat, we get this hormonal response that allows us to increase blood flow to muscle and fat, because of that, anytime you're eating, you're going to get blood flow to the tissues that you're trying to get that supplement to, if there's good blood supply. For tendons, ligaments, connective tissues, because these are tissues that don't have a lot of blood flow to them, what we think is happening here is slightly different. We think that the way that they get nutrients isn't through, you know, bulk flow through the vascular system. What we think happens is they're like a sponge. When we load them, you squeeze the sponge out. There's lots of water within these tissues, so the water goes out. And then what happens, just like if you were to squeeze a sponge dry and put it into a liquid, it's going to sop up that liquid that's in the environment. So really what we're trying to do when we're trying to get these things to our cartilage, our ligaments, and our tendon, is we're trying to use our activity to deliver it. So what we want to be able to do is we want to have the gelatin in the system
pre-workout
before we do our exercise.
Got to be pre-workout, yeah.
So what we've done in the study that we published in American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, we gave the skeleton an hour before. We did that because that was when the peak of amino acids occurred. The peak of amino acids is occurring an hour after you take in your gelatin. You do your exercise. Now what's happening is the places that are being loaded, you're getting more flow through those tissues, through those connective tissues that don't normally have blood flow. If the synovium and all of these other liquids around those tendons, ligaments, and cartilage, if they are rich in those amino acids that we're trying to get to them, now that's going to be the stimulus that they need in order to respond. So we say that it's best to take these half hour to an hour before you're going to do your training. So if people are taking a pre-workout supplement or if they're doing something that has caffeine half hour to an hour before, that's a good time to also take the gelatin. The Great Lakes that you're using is a hydrolysate, which means it's going to go right into whatever, you know, whatever juice liquid that you use to dissolve it in. So it's not going to be granular at all.
Right.
The one thing with the NOX is that it's not broken down that extra step. So it's going to form a gel. So if you want to do like gummy bears or jellies, that's great. But if you want to do it as a drink, something that's hydrolyzed is going to be much better. And if you're taking that in an hour before, that's probably going to load those cells with exactly what you're looking for.
So a lot of people in my audience, including myself, train fasted.
Right.
We do our cardio fasted in the morning, and then we go to the gym and we train fasted in the morning. So I could easily take my Great Lakes gelatin on an empty stomach and train, or would that impair the absorption and what I'm trying to do? Do I have to take it with food?
You don't have to take it with food. So basically what we think is important is not necessarily, you know, a lot of the amino acids that you're getting. It's actually the in any collagen, you get what's called hydroxyproline, which is a modified amino acid. And then you get these little peptides of hydroxyproline that your body absorbs. And we think that those peptides with hydroxyproline in them are especially important because there's really good research that shows that the cells that we're looking to activate are most activated by these hydroxylated peptides. And so if you're taking it on an empty stomach, all that means it's going to happen is it's going to absorb a little bit quicker. It's going to get into the system a little bit faster. So, yeah, a half hour before. And because, again, this is flavorless stuff that doesn't really have a lot of nutritional, you know, it doesn't have a lot of nutrients other than the pure amino acids that are in the collagen.
Right.
You're not looking to, you're not going to be adding anything to the system that is going to impair any adaptations to your, to whatever type of training you're doing.
And the vitamin C needs to be in the system at the same time as the collagen, or is it something that if you're taking a vitamin C supplement later in the day, it's just as good, or?
So what we would normally do is we'd make it up in a little bit of juice, but if you're looking to train fasted, what I do is I go to Trader Joe's and I grab their vitamin C powder, and it's a powder, so I can just add a little bit, or any other type of powdered vitamin C. And you're only looking to get in, say, 500 milligrams, maybe a little bit, or 50 milligrams to 500 milligrams. So it's a lot less than you would normally get in a supplement. So, and, you know, especially for people who are doing their aerobic work, if they're going to take in a high amount of vitamin C, that has the potential to decrease the adaptation to the aerobic exercise.
Right.
So we're not looking to do that. We're looking to take in just enough to provide the extra stimulus, because every time you go to make collagen, vitamin C is a cofactor in the reaction, and it's consumed in the reaction. So that's why you always need to have a source of vitamin C, is because the vitamin C is used by your body, and when it uses it to make collagen, it's broken down, so it's no longer useful anymore.
I take a liposomal vitamin C. I'll just take a third of my dose in the morning with my collagen before I train. I'm going to start doing it that way, too. And so what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this research?
So the big thing for the clinicians is that we always, you know, the response a lot of times is you broke a bone or you've got an injury. What we're going to do is we're going to rest it. We're going to put it into a cast. We're going to put you into boot. We're going to do something that's going to immobilize it. And that's fine to some degree. But what you have to do is even early in the loading process or early in the healing process, you actually have to provide load. It doesn't have to be much, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, and then a six-hour rest. So you do 5 minutes of activity first thing in the morning, 5-6 minutes of activity at noon, 5 to 6 minutes of activity at the end of the day. That's actually going to accelerate the rate at which you're going to recover from any injury that you have that's a soft tissue or hard tissue-based injury. So that's the first thing, is just changing this mentality in the clinicians that, okay, you broke a bone, you're going to rest for 4 weeks, and then we're going to start to do something. Because if you do that, now you're already, you know, if you're an athlete especially, you've lost, you know, it's not only those 4 weeks, but you're going to have another month to 2 months to recover your aerobic fitness that you've lost during that period of time. So we're really trying to get in there and say, even before, you know, you're able to load completely on that, we're just going to do a small amount of load. It doesn't have to be, you know, high impact load. It just has to be enough to get those cells to respond. And so if we can start to change that and also get into this idea where instead of doing 30 minutes of physical therapy, now we're doing 5 to 10 minutes in the morning, 5 to 10 minutes at lunch, 5 to 10 minutes at the evening, we're going to accelerate the rate at which we recover. So that's the first thing. The second thing for normal people or for lay people or for athletes who are out there, what we're looking to do is we're looking to say, look, if you've got a history of stress fractures and you're a long-distance runner, now go ahead and do your big long-distance running. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have 6 hours later, I want you to do a very short session, an hour after you've taken gelatin, so that you can load the system, and that's a protective session for your bones, your tendons, and ligaments. And that can be true not only for runners, but for young people who are baseball players who have a history of shoulder problems, volleyball players who have the same thing. What you want to do is, yeah, you're going to have a period of time where you're going to do a large volume. But then what you want to have is you want to have a separate session that's a short session that's done after you've had some gelatin where you can load the system that you are going to be loading when you're going to be doing your sport, but it's in a controlled situation that is designed to optimize the performance of your tendons, ligaments, and bones. If we can get people to do that, a lot of the things like the Tommy John surgeries that are happening to kids who are 16 years of age,
right,
we can get rid of that. We can get rid of a lot of that because all we need to do is understand how the system works, understand that we need to do some protective things for those bits of our body that aren't designed necessarily to take this huge volume that we're giving it.
Right, right. Interesting. And chances are, from an evolutionary perspective, we would have been getting a lot of this stuff because we ate the entire viscera of animals and we got a lot of collagen from that as well. Great.
Exactly.
This is great information, Dr. Barr. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome.
Take care.
Take care.
Also want to thank, who was my first guest? Isn't that funny? I'm distracted right now. This is me being distracted. When I didn't have a first guest, I was kind of thrown off. It took me a little while to recover. I want to thank Dr. Karthik Mani for coming on and talking about you sit up straight when you're at your desk. Get up once in a while, walk around, and have your employer buy some things for your workspace that make it less stressful on your back. Very, very important. All right, listen, that's the end of today's show. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening today.